Buckle up, Buttercup. Live from Gloucester, Massachusetts. Podcasting around the world.
Around the world.
You're listening to the Gloucestercast Podcast, a production of Joey Shimataro and Good Morning Gloucester Media. Kick back, relax, and enjoy the show with your host, Joey Shimataro, and his crew of merry castaways. No piping plovers will be intentionally harmed in the production of this podcast.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We have two of the more celebrated and do-gooder organizations of the town, probably top three impact players in Gloucester, Massachusetts with us right here. First, I'd like to introduce on the bottom left, Susan Kelly from Generous Gardeners.
Hello.
And Corinne Lippe. Is it Lippe or Lip? How do you pronounce it, Corinne?
It's Corinne Lippe.
Corinne Lippe from Backyard Growers.
Good morning.
And Pat and Jimmy Dalpiaz in the top right. Everybody's video and audio is on point right now, which is not usually par for the course. But it's great to have you guys here. You both are doing interesting things, and it's that time of year. It's the growing season. So Susan reached out along with Corinne's, I don't know if it's your, what do you call it, a secretary or press person.
Yeah, she's our communications and outreach manager.
And what's her name?
Courtney Allen.
Courtney Allen. She's fantastic. And the question I have for you guys is, who wants to go first? Are you guys collaborating on anything? Are you guys?
Not at this time. So can I go first? Are you okay with that, Chris? One of the reasons we wanted to do this is to explain to the public, because a lot of people mix us up or they think we're the same organization. It's good and bad. I mean, because, you know, everybody, but they'll get credit for the boulevard and I'll get phone calls about raised vegetable beds. And so we thought that it would be really good to explain the difference between our organizations, because we are very different organizations. My daughter was a springboard diver, and I always kind of think it's like swimming and diving. We're in the same pool, but we're doing completely different things. And so Generous Gardeners is all about beautification of Gloucester with public flower gardens. And we have nothing to do with vegetables. We have nothing to do with food or programs that, you know, help, you know, basically deal with, well, actually I'll let Backyard Growers say, you know, all of their product. But our mission statement is the beautification of Gloucester. And we have over 60 volunteers. We are an entirely volunteer run organization. And all of the privately raised money that we get in donations goes to pay for the plantings in Gloucester. And so we are the ones responsible for the 30,000 tulips that are going to be blooming in May. It's the most we've ever planted, and they're all brand new tulips that we planted last fall. And we knew we were going to have a long winter, so 30,000 is not Kuchenhof, but it is worth seeing, and it will be 30, absolutely 000. Gorgeous. 30,000.
Can I ask? Wait a second. I always thought, and you have to excuse my ignorance. I always thought that the tulips, you plant them once, and they come up every year.
Well, and that's one of the things we have our newsletter coming out. I actually put a link to explain. So what we plant are show tulips. They're big hybrid, their bulbs are massive. And the idea is that you get these huge flowers that are like 5 inches, you know, tall. And they're designed to be one big show. The next year, now we also have, you know, in Holland, they would come back year after year because Holland has sandy soil and perfect conditions for bulbs. Our soil is too wet. Our winters are too hard and wet. The bulbs rot. We also have a huge amount of salt problems on the boulevard because I mean, we've never seen as much damage as we have nowadays with the global warming and the you know, the amount of seawater that crashes over in the wind and things like that. So we only count on the bulbs lasting for 1 year. We're thrilled if they come up a second year with a smaller, shorter flower. So you'll see when they start blooming, you'll really be able to tell which were the new bulbs and which are the old bulbs. And by the third year, it's only just foliage. And so when people were saying, you know, why don't you care about the old bulbs? It's because when you look at them, they're the size of they're not even the size of a golf ball. They're tiny and they won't do much. So we planted, and when we dig up to plant the new ones, we can see what was there before. And we actually ended up last minute ordering a ton more because we had thought we could at least count on something from previous years. And this year, it was just so bad. The salt was just so bad. It just literally destroyed the existing bulbs. So
that's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. And, you know, kudos to you for the work that you guys have done, because the Boulevard has always been a nice place to go, but now it's become a destination. Like more than in the history of the Boulevard, I don't think it's ever been such a destination for people.
Let me throw out that last year I bought tickets. I paid money, not a lot, but to attend a nearby tulip festival, and it had nothing on Walk in the Boulevard. And tulips are my very favorites, so I always look forward to it. But support your organizations, but the Tulip Festival on the Boulevard cannot be beat locally.
Thank you. It is a labor of love, and it was one of those things that we just happened to do the first year because the beds went in late and it was all we could do, and it was such a hit that now we're destined to spend. I mean, it's $10,000 worth of tulips, just so you know.
I don't know.
I mean, if that's more or less than you thought, but that's what it cost. You know, and we get a big discount for volume and for a nonprofit, but
it's easily worth it though. As far as, you know how there's certain festivals we have in town, and there's certain monies that are spent on marketing. It has definitely brought a ton of people to Gloucester just to view it. It's become a thing, and when I say a thing, a monstrous thing.
So, well, thank you. Yeah, and the dahlias are too now. I mean, it's funny because I thought we were going to become a dahlia farm. I thought we were going to become daylilies. My original vision was all about daylilies because they're so hardy and tough. But the tulips and the dahlias are just about outshone the daylilies. The daylilies look like the poor second cousin now, which is too bad because daylilies are absolutely wonderful plants and they're hardy. They are salt tolerant. That was my vision. My original vision for the Boulevard was daylilies, and now it's become tulips and dahlias. But you know, the daylilies are there. There are 2,000 daylilies, and they, you know, they're the backbone. But it's not the thing. So anyway, but I just wanted to make sure that people understand that we take care of 45 different spaces in Gloucester, and we're always welcoming new volunteers. And we probably spend about 2,500 hours, volunteer hours, for the city of Gloucester. So if you figure that normally would be $45 an hour for a landscape person, that's a lot of value to the city. It really
100%.
Is.
Hey, I don't want to put you on the spot. You said 45 other spots. You don't have to do all that. But could you name some of the other spots for some of the listeners?
Oh yeah, and it's all on our website, generousgardeners.org. It's called under Garden Spaces. But for example, you know, we planted the O'Malley School, the new plantings at the O'Malley School. I mean, that was again $3,000 worth of ornamental grasses. We do a Magnolia Library. We do all the traffic islands. We just took over Hesperus Island in Magnolia. Most people forget about Magnolia, but we have a whole team in Magnolia that takes care of the cemetery, the library, the traffic islands, and then all the way down to, of course, the new gardens we put in last year, the FitzHenry Lane Park Gardens, now by the new Chamber of Commerce. So, and again, new gardens at the Chamber of Commerce. That, I think, is wonderful. What a change for that whole area of Gloucester. Mm. We still do have a lot of problems with garbage. That's not the best, you know, I mean, that's one of those sorely neglected areas. We put the gardens in it, the Maritime Center. We also did, I don't know if you noticed, the police embankment is now completely all around when they put in the new retaining wall. That was actually our very first installation. It was when we cleaned up that, you know, that the the behind the police station that was an eyesore for over a decade. So, okay, I've talked too much. I'm going to hand it over to Corinne to kind of.
Yes, thank you. And we'll come back to you and talk about some of the upcoming programming.
Oh, yeah, because I do have some upcoming stuff. Okay.
Right. So, Corinne, okay. And I'm sure that is a huge pet peeve for you that people call you Corinne?
It's not. It happens all the time, but it's actually not a pet peeve.
Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry. But anyway, let's talk about the mission statement and some of the backbone programs for backyard growers.
Yeah, no, this is a great opportunity. And as Susan said, so we often say, you know, they're flowers and we're veggies. So that's an easy way maybe for people to remember it. So backyard growers is really more around food access and teaching kids where real food comes from, building healthy habits. We work in all of the schools in Gloucester, pre-K up through the high school, and including pathways for children. We manage 10 community gardens in Gloucester. We have two at Burnham's Field. We have community gardens at 5 Gloucester Housing Authority, low-income housing developments, and one at Pond View. And then we run a backyard garden program. We have a Get a Garden, Give a Garden initiative. So with a partnership with Black Earth Compost, folks from anywhere can purchase a raised garden bed for themselves that Black Earth Compost will install in their backyards. And then with an additional $500, they can donate to backyard growers, and we will install the same raised garden bed for a low-income household in Gloucester in their backyard.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. We consult with other schools and districts and now housing developments throughout the state to bring the program model that we've honed in Gloucester for the last 10 years up and out of Gloucester. We kind of have, done so much work here with kids and seniors and adults to teach them how to grow food. And we now are working through consulting to work with other schools, district, and communities outside of Gloucester to teach them what we've done here in Gloucester. So we just, for example, yesterday trained a whole group of SNAP Ed program staff throughout the state of Massachusetts to implement our program model, but throughout their SNAP Ed programs across the state. And then, you know, we're all about training people to have agency and be self-sufficient to grow their own food so that they have easy access, and especially in the pandemic, considering how hard that was for folks. We provide training, resources, support. So we have mentors who volunteer to help teach new gardeners how to be successful growing food. We run seedling sales. We partner with Cedar Rock Gardens in West Gloucester and have 2 seedling sales, and maybe we'll get into a little bit of those kind of program dates coming up. So we offer seedlings, and those are for our program members, but anyone in the public can purchase seedlings from us as well. We're doing a seed giveaway at Burnham's Field the beginning of April. Again, anyone in the public's welcome to come and get seeds from us, mostly veggie seeds, but we do have some flowers. We have a whole host of other things that we do, but I hope that helps clarify a little bit for folks.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah, that is exhausting.
Yeah. Trying to write it all down. It was
they do. See, I said they do a lot. They do a lot. We're just all about the flowers. But Cedar Rock does grow all the annuals for the Boulevard too. Just so you know that Cedar Rock grows all the annual flowers. So that's a nice. I love that footprint. It's super tiny. Noonan's up in Georgetown grows a lot of our flowers too.
Back
right, how you do.
And one other thing I didn't mention, we also have, just in case it's accessible for folks who don't have access to a backyard or to a community garden space, we launched last year a grow bag pilot program. So we have these felt grow bags. They're like inexpensive, portable, lightweight, sustainable growing containers of all different sizes. We give them out to kids in schools and we make them available for people in the community to purchase.
You know what would be great? Do you have like sustainable herb gardens? Because every time my wife goes to Stop and Shop to pick up a little package of basil, it costs me $7. It's so easy to grow the basil and or thyme or, you know what I mean? These little packages, they're like this, and they're like $7. I'm like, what are you doing here?
Maybe we can help.
The question I have is, do you have any recommendations for someone who maybe was looking to lose some weight because they may have been, you know, eating like an asshole this whole time? Is there anything that you could put in there, you know, recommend?
Well, we don't do nutritional counseling, but we can recommend lots of veggies.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think lots of people are in that category, considering.
Yeah, well, we just Jimmy just joined us in Key West. He came back and we all, you know, beer, pizza, tacos, fried fish, or for a week straight. So a little update. I was 209 when we got back. I'm 201 this morning. 5 days.
Okay. Wow, that's awesome. Wow.
Hold on. I'm gonna give you the because I want to prove it. Because we have this.
This is where I kind of hate men.
You know? We have this scale.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree. You could never lose 10 pounds in a week. I mean, impossible. Absolutely impossible.
We have a scale. And the scale, like you step on it and it syncs to your phone and all the different apps. So hold on. This sounds like
a nightmare to me. But
hold on a second. Yeah. I got to give you this right here. Ready? All right. Here's my graph right there. You can see my graph.
Good for you. Except there was that big spike there, huh?
Well, I stopped. I was down to 190. No, I was down to 187, I think. And then I stopped logging this fall. And then football season came and just ate like a jerk. And then I started logging again. So anyway.
So Joey, just so you know, so I have been, you know, because Boston Globe said it was your civic duty, if you could afford it, to eat out to support your restaurants. So I
had a lot of civic duty.
It's a very civic duty, exactly. And so I was, you know, and so we ate out every single night for a month. And I gained 5 pounds instantly, you know.
Easy,
but I did my
civic duty.
I did my civic duty for a whole month. We actually ate out every single night.
It's because you're a giver. You're a community person. Yeah, you're doing it for the people. Okay.
You're a giver.
Okay, I'm a giver. Yeah, I'm a giver. So I get back in poundage, right?
Pat, Jimmy, and I have followed the same. Exactly. As well. Yeah.
So can I say some of the new things that Generous Gardeners is doing?
Absolutely.
Okay. So again, in keeping with this whole restaurant idea, one of the things that really bothered me this summer, in addition to the fact that we couldn't eat inside and we were eating outside, was the fact that we didn't have any hanging baskets on Main Street. And the brackets were empty there. And I had done the watering myself the year before, and it was absolutely impossible. There was this old equipment, and the baskets needed to be watered twice a day. And there was no funding for it, and it was just absolutely unsustainable. But so there was nothing last summer. But this year, we got an $11,500 award from the 100 Women Who Care, Cape Ann. Have you heard of them?
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yes. So 100 Women, Generous Gardeners won that award, and we bought 28 self-watering I know this sounds, most people say, what? Self-watering baskets, which basically they're baskets that have a 2 gallon reservoir in the bottom and then a wicking mechanism that brings the water up to the soil.
Wow.
So we will only have to water them every other day, and maybe every day in the heat of July, but it's not going to be like twice a day, you know, while I'm in the middle of a garden tour and whatnot. So we are going to do that as a pilot program. We're also getting water tanks that we can put in cars that we can, instead of trying to wheel them around. So that's going to be an interesting initiative, because we want Main Street to feel supported. I mean, it's been really, really hard on them. And
it's sustainable with that, like less effort having to be placed there. That's brilliant.
Right. So, I mean, let's hope. They're pretty expensive, so it was really wonderful to get that grant. The other thing is, I want to let everybody know that because we're all going to be vaccinated very soon, we are doing our walk and garden tour this year. And that's our major fundraiser. We have over a dozen private gardens in the West, the Mount Pleasant Ave area neighborhood. And basically people come from all over. Joey, this is one of those big ones. We get 650 people from all over. Who come and pay $30 to walk through 12 private gardens. And of course, then they go shopping and they have lunch and they, you know, and they, you know, see the beautiful ocean, and they sometimes they even, you know, make it a weekend and stay at the hotel, you know, stay over. I get people emailing me in February wanting to know, you know, the specifics so that they can plan their vacation. So it's a big deal. We just did it virtual last year, but this year we are on track for both. Great. Actually, we're going to do a virtual version and a walking version, because the virtual version was very welcome for people who are homebound and in nursing homes and whatnot. So because it's never handicap accessible, because these are private gardens, you know, you can't become handicap accessible. So that's our one thing. The other thing that we are also going to have this year that we didn't have last year is our plant sale. And again, our plant sale is different than their seedling sale. Our plants are exclusively flowers. And basically what we do is we have all of our volunteers dig up extra seedlings from their own gardens and divide up perennials from their own gardens. And then so it's a very inexpensive way to get a beautiful flower garden of locally grown perennials. And again, I don't know if you know much about gardening, but you know, when I started Generous Gardeners, it's really all about, you know, sharing your perennial gardens with others. And that's really what you know, I just love giving away flowers. And
you divide and that, yeah.
So we're going to have the plant sale is going to be May 22nd on the Boulevard, and the garden tour is July 10th.
And
I want to get out there.
So for information, if you can't remember this, the easy thing to do would to be go to generousgardeners.org after this. And we provided a link in on Facebook right now. There's the link, so you can just click on that anytime the podcast doesn't go away after we're done taping here. So that's a great way to keep all these dates. Oh, great. Nice job, Pat. Pat just put the details in there. Thank you, Pat.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Corinne, would you want to talk about some of the things you got coming up?
Sure, yeah. So that's actually good timing, because Susan, we've got our seedling sale, our May one, on May 21st, so the day before. So I guess it'll
be okay. So you get your veggies and then you get flowers.
Yeah, exactly. And all of our dates are also on our website. So we have a whole bunch of things coming up, including this month. We actually have a cooking workshop with Ken Duckworth. So people can still purchase tickets for that. That's going to be an awesome opportunity. Check out our website. It's also in the stream. We have, like I said, on April 3rd, Saturday, April 3rd at Burnham's Field, we've got folks can come and pick up seeds, veggie seeds, and those will be outside of our community gardens at Burnham's Field. We have three garden planning trainings. This is really around like making the most efficient use of planting vegetables in small spaces, so urban gardens, any space you have available. We have three of those garden planning trainings coming up. They will be by Zoom, and it's $15 for general public, and they're free for our program members and our community and backyard garden programs. We have on April 24th our first veggie seedling sale, and then again in May on the 21st. So all of those dates are on our website, and we also have a lot and accessible information on our website for anyone who's just starting to try and figure out how to grow food or wants more information about how to build a raised garden bed, all of those things, soil testing. So on the resources page of our website, you can find a lot of that information for free to download.
The Burnham's Field gardens, are those all spoken for?
Yeah, we have a long waiting list this year, too. So we're trying to figure out whether or not there's an opportunity to perhaps add more raised garden beds there. But we've definitely seen an uptick in interest over the last couple of years, and this year in particular. So right now we have a waiting list. We give priority to returning gardeners from the prior season, and we don't have a lot of attrition. So this year we just had a handful of raised beds open, and we do have a waiting list. And that's again why the container gardens, these grow bags, are a great option, especially for people who maybe don't own their own homes and need access to growing space. So, yeah.
What's a grow? Now, is the growing bag mean that you started it in the growing bag and you're gonna replant it in a pot?
You don't replant it. No, it's actually It's about as sustainable as untreated wood raised bed. So they last for about 5 years. It's just like a container, like you would picture a ceramic pot to grow in, but instead it's a felt bag. And so you can keep the soil in it year over year. You can, you know, plant different things every year. They actually fold up. So you could empty the soil, fold them back up, move them easily, or store them inside. So it's a great alternative to kind of traditional ways in which people would grow, either in a larger space or in a raised garden bed.
That's interesting. Have you guys ever done a video on those?
We have, and last year we were really pleased to get support from Patagonia, actually, to launch this pilot program. And then the Gloucester Education Foundation and Gloucester Public Schools gave us some money to roll out these grow bags in kits. We do salad days, as folks might know, with all of the elementary school kids in Gloucester. So we have all of the kids come out in April and plant leaf lettuce at their school gardens. And then in June, they come back with us and harvest all the lettuce and have salads. So it's called salad days. So so last year, the kids weren't in school. So instead, we used the 3-gallon version of these bags and created kits, salad days kits. And every single second grader in Gloucester got a kit, and they brought those home and could, you know, imitate the experience of having salad days, but at home, since they weren't able to be in school. So we're doing more of those kinds of things this year with kids, seniors, and others throughout the city.
That's brilliant. Yeah, that's really cool. I love the whole idea of that.
So you've got some backup help here commenting online. So congratulations, well done.
I'm guessing that's the media person. Colleen. Courtney. No, the CEO, Courtney. Yeah, nice work, yeah. Courtney. I want one of those. Can I get one of those minion? I need a minion.
I thought you meant a bag. Yeah.
Actually, I got a minion. Pat's my minion. I did do good work. We got one of these podcasts. We got to put you in one of those yellow minion outfits, and that
would be great. No.
Susan, did you say all the stuff that you wanted to talk about as far as
I covered all the main points, and I just wanted to let people know that we always welcome new volunteers. You don't have to know anything about gardening to participate. We'll teach you anything you need to know. We're doing our first cleanup today, actually at 1 o'clock.
18 Harriet Road, is that where you're going? 18 Harriet Road.
Where? What? Oh, yeah. No, we're actually going to start cleaning up the Elizabeth Gordon Smith Park, the Betty Smith Park, you know, with the Triton sculpture that we renovated a year and a half ago. That's become a beautiful park, you know, there. And I know some people were, some people were upset that big tree came down. That tree was rotted and ill and it was dangerous. It was wired together, dead limbs were wired together. And so we planted, you know, instead 12 flowering trees. So I think it's turned out to be a beautiful park. And
it looks beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And I think it was an area, it was so dark and it was actually full of poison ivy too. A lot of people didn't, I mean, it was just so hidden over there, but now that whole area is opened up and it's really, I mean, it's wonderful to see people sitting there, you know, doing their yoga class and having their knitting socials. And, you know, I think that whole area of Stageford Park and the Boulevard has really been opened up.
So you're going there at 1 o'clock today. Can you give people an idea where that is? So if people want to like volunteer.
Well, no, but they have to check with me. You can't just show up. Sorry, I should probably never said that we're going to start today. So forget that. Okay. You need to be a generous gardener. You need to have a green apron. You need to be, you know, it's not like we can't just take like a bunch of people, you know, off the street. It's too hard to manage as is. And those are really tender. They're, you know, the plants are just now coming up. We have to dead leaf things. It's actually a pretty fragile environment right now. So no all calls for volunteers right now.
Okay.
I can see people going and just pulling stuff out and saying, I'm here.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, we don't, you know, I mean, even though we're willing to teach you, I mean, it takes some knowledge to understand what's a bud and what's a dead head. I mean, we, you know, you don't want people, you know, so yeah.
You don't want me there.
You don't want. We don't want you there. Sorry, Joey. We don't want you.
I'm not allowed the garden either. Yeah,
I'm not allowed. So that's fantastic. So if you want to, if you would like to get involved with the Generous Gardeners, go to the website. You can sign up, right?
And you can just email me, Susan@generousgardeners.org.
All right.
I don't have a media consultant. Sorry, it's just me. I have a wonderful board, though. I have a very active board, and I have a big garden tour committee. It's not just me. I have amazing volunteers.
You have a lot of help.
No, I don't want to pretend it's me. It's not me.
You know, you got great help. Corinne. Great help.
Yeah.
Let's talk about you.
So we actually could use all the volunteers we can get. So we'd love to have more volunteers. We have so many sites throughout the city. We not only our community garden sites, but we manage the food producing gardens at the Open Door that infuses food back into their food pantry. We manage the gardens at Action's Homeless Shelter. So we have no shortage of hands-on volunteer work. And last year that was definitely hampered as a result of COVID restrictions and wanting to keep people safe. So we're looking to get more people out. And if folks want to volunteer, they can sign up right on our website for that. And we'd love to get people in the community out into seeing our sites and helping us to maintain them, because it is a lot of work. We're a slightly bigger team than Susan, but we are still a tiny staff team and have lots going on. So, and another thing I'll just mention, because we do provide volunteer mentors to support program members of ours who are just learning how to grow. And so we're always looking for adult mentors who are interested in playing that role for us, and particularly folks who don't speak English or who speak, you know, who are bilingual. So we're looking for new mentors and other volunteers who can reach out and speak to community members who don't speak English. And so we'd love to have more.
Corinne, I would be remiss if I did not ask you our podcast virgin question. And Susan, I don't know if you ever participated in this, but I'll get to you after, just in case I haven't. So our podcast virgins, that's people that haven't been on the Gloucestercast before, there's a two-part question.
I was on it last year, actually, Joey, if you remember.
Did I ask you the questions?
You did.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, what are they? I don't know if you asked me.
You can ask Susan.
All right, we're going to Susan. Two questions. You have to assume you're on death row, and the warden's coming in, and he tells you, tomorrow you're going to be executed. I can get you a meal from any restaurant. It doesn't have to be lost, any restaurant. What is the meal, and where is the restaurant that you order?
Well, I would love to say something from Duckworth, but he's been closed for a year. I don't know. I'm going to sign up for that cooking class, because I may have to cook his stuff for myself. But I, like you, Joey, have become a big fan of Oliver's Harborside.
Mm.
And the cod that they had there this summer was to die for.
Yeah. They're very good.
Oh, I really don't want to die. But
they're the biggest secret in this town, and everything they're doing is fantastic.
It is fantastic.
Yeah. We have a lot of great restaurants. That's not to take away from anybody else, but it's a family there, and they're doing great things. So I like to see people support them. All right, now second part, Death Row Sub. Where's the sub, and what's the order?
That's tougher for me. Is a sub any sandwich?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have to be like, you know, a grinder. Or, you know, I'm from the Midwest originally. I'm a Midwestern farm girl, so we don't call them. You know, I mean, it's that's tough. That's a tough one. I love the HS2 from Bishko.
Oh, what's the you have to explain it.
It's the hot sandwich number two. From Cafe Bishko.
What's in it, though?
It's got turkey, Swiss cheese, arugula, pesto, and then it's pressed and grilled.
Yeah, that sounds good.
That sounds good.
Bishko, that's another place that, oh my God, their salads are ridiculous. Their salads are bountiful. That's easily a two-meal salad. It's a great.
We have a lot of great places like that. I mean, we had dinner last night at Passports. They're another one that just, I mean, I would love their food.
What did you order? What did you order at Passports?
They had a halibut special with caper sauce that was absolutely awesome. And actually, Eric was in the kitchen. He was cooking.
Yeah.
We had the mussels to start, and their Caesar salads with the egg and that with some grilled shrimp on it. Awesome. Really good. Yeah.
I know. We're so spoiled, aren't we?
Yeah, we are so spoiled in this town.
We really are.
Yeah. Corinne, have you had any recent dining experiences you want to talk about in town?
Not really. I'm really looking forward to getting back out and eating and supporting the local restaurants. We do. Our current office at 3 Duncan Street is with Breakwater Roasters and Taj. So. That's a short hop over there, so I think I'll go grab a coffee right afterwards.
Right, and their Taj Tuesday, the Tuesday Tiki Taj Tuesday. I was doing that regularly. It's a great deal, actually. It's a great deal.
I have not been there. Pat and Jimmy, have you been to Taj yet, Pat and Jimmy?
No.
It's excellent.
As much as we've gone out in the past, God, all the time. Like, we haven't done Taj. I don't know why.
But I don't know why either.
Somebody throws a burger night out, somebody throws a wing night out, somebody's throwing a that's kind of over suddenly.
Joey, I'll tell you, their Tuesday deal is an amazing deal. We're talking about having a second meal out of it. It's a lot of food. I was trying to do vegan and then pescatarian, but then my son came over and we ordered the lamb tiki. Oh, that was so good.
That's Tuesday's order right there. That's Tuesday's order.
Lamb, they do the lamb tiki. It's really good.
He says on Wednesday.
What? I know. We're going to wait 6 days. Jimmy, I want to hold on a second. I got to put, this is breaking news. This is the biggest news in the city of Gloucester, that's happened this week. I gotta give them the screen. Jimmy, come up to the screen, Jimmy.
Okay.
Come up to the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So now tilt your head up. It's true. You did it. The biggest news. He trimmed his nose hairs. We've been begging him to trim his nose hairs for 6 months. Well, he wouldn't do it, and this is the biggest news in Gloucester in 2021. Never mind COVID, the reopening, never mind the vaccines. Jimmy Dalpiaz actually shaved his nose hairs. Nice work, Jimmy. Nice work. He's speechless.
You love embarrassing people, don't you?
That has to be done.
I'm so proud
it's
of you.
It's in the contract. It's in the contract I signed.
Did you throw them out? Or are you gonna bring them to the place sharpens the blades on the grass, the lawnmowers?
No, I'm gonna use it to clip some of the flowers that these ladies are going through. I'm going to go by. I hope they still work.
I don't think we encourage
all right.
that.
Since I got it, Corinne, I've got to tell you, thank you so much for working with the kids as much as you do with the programs that you have. I know it was a struggle. We have nieces and nephews who were a big part of it. They talked about it and they missed it. And I know it was hard to try and get that to go home. And like you were saying, a program which a lot of people would understand what you were trying to do. So I'm really hoping this COVID thing is over and we can get back to doing that and helping those kids. Nice job.
Yeah. Thank you for that. So to donate, you can go to generousgardeners.org or backyardgrowers.org. Support their programs. Both of I think it goes 1, 2, 3 for me, you guys and Open Door, the top three places that money should go in town as far as supporting, because the whatever goes in comes back tenfold. So it's a tremendous investment. Are both of you guys tax deductible? Like if you donate, you get the off your taxes?
Yeah.
So that, So that's it. So it's tax season. This is a great time to donate to these two organizations because, okay, I'm going to say this. Be selfish and donate to these organizations because it's a tax write-off. So and you're getting something back for yourself and making your community a better place. So thank you guys for joining us. I really appreciate it. This is a great podcast.
Thanks so much
for having
us. Thank you. It's spring. All right, Jimmy. Do your thing, Jimmy.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, no piping plovers were injured or hurt in the making of today's podcast. Thank you.